But today I'd like to talk with you about Freemasonry, and especially, should a Christian be a Freemason or not? It's an important topic, I think, for us to talk about. Why? For two reasons. Number one, because there are a lot of Masons in the world. It's very prevalent in America and the whole globe. Also, because, number two, God tells us Christians in the Bible, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, he says, "Test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." And so we need to test everything. And in this case, we need to test Freemasonry and see if it's right or wrong, good or evil. Should a Christian be involved in it or not? So let's take a look at these things today. Let's look at Freemasonry and learn, number one, what is it? Number two, what God says to us about it in his holy word. Should a Christian be a Freemason or not? You with me? So let's start out by just asking, what is Freemasonry? Well, some of you may be familiar with it. Others may not. But here's just a brief introduction. Freemasonry is a secret fraternity. Fraternity means it's just for men, only open to men. Secret means it's secret. It's covered. It's hidden. Undercover. They have secret handshakes, secret rituals, secret passwords, secret teachings. That's why Masons meet in lodges, buildings, that are often, usually, without windows, and often on the second floor if possible, because they don't want you to know what's going on inside. It's secret. And then when you become a Mason, as a man, a Freemason, you go up through the ranks. You go up through what they call degrees, higher and higher. And as you do, you're supposed to get more and more knowledge, understand, reveal to you more and more the secrets of Freemasonry, and ultimately get you more and more enlightened about God and about the path to heaven, to that, as they say, the celestial lodge above, and gaining entrance there as a good Mason. And so there's much, much more to it than that. I could go on for long hours, but that's Masonry in a nutshell, the barest of explanations. It's a secret fraternity for men. How many Masons are there in the world? 6 million. In America, 2.5 million. What's the history of Freemasonry? Well, nobody knows exactly when it began because it's secret. Some date it back to 1717. The first Grand Lodge meeting of London and Westminster at a tavern there in London. But we have records of there being lodge meetings in America 2 years before that, 1715. You could go, some people, all the way back to 1425 records and the Stonemason Guilds. Others trace its origin to the Knights Templar, a secret fraternity of Roman Catholic knights in the 1300s. And others trace it all the way back to the days of the Bible and the building of King Solomon's temple. The point is, nobody knows exactly its origins. And even if the highest of Freemasons do know, they wouldn't tell you, because after all, it's secret. So I can't tell you exactly its origins, but I can tell you that Freemasonry has been very influential in America, our country, from the start. Let me see if I can enlighten you about that. How influential has it been? Let's consider a few of the basics. At least 9 signers of the Declaration of Independence were Freemasons. 9 to 13 of the signers of the Constitution of the United States were Freemasons. At least 33 of the 74 generals in the colonial army against the Redcoats were Masons. And in early America, here are some famous Freemasons. George Washington. In fact, there he is in his lambskin apron. He was very much into Freemasonry. You also have Benjamin Franklin, John Hancock, Paul Revere, and John Paul Jones. Do you know that George Washington, when he took his first presidential oath of office, he took it with his hand upon a Masonic Bible? How about the laying of the cornerstone of the Capitol building of the United States? Here it is, General Washington once again in his lambskin apron on September 18th, 1793, in great Masonic ceremony with a parade of Masons. There they are laying the cornerstone to the United States Capitol building. Do you know that in Washington, D.C., we have the Washington Monument? That is a Masonic symbol. It's an obelisk. Just go to any cemetery. When you see an obelisk, that's the tomb of a Mason. How about the Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor? Do you know that this was a gift of the French Masons to the Masons of America? And you can even prove that even more conclusively. There's a plaque at the bottom that the cornerstone was laid by Masons on August 5th, 1884. Do you know that the $1 bill in America, which we were just looking at there in the children's sermon, remember this picture? On the backside, there's a pyramid with an all-seeing eye at the top. When I was a boy and I saw that, I was like, that's creepy. What on earth does a pyramid and an all-seeing eye have to do with our country? That's creepy. But actually, that's a Masonic symbol. And you see the all-seeing eye right there at the top of the pyramid. Look at the lambskin apron. What do you see in every lambskin apron? There's the all-seeing eye. And the lambskin apron is worn by Masons down around the loins there. Do you know that the streets of Washington, D.C. are laid out in Masonic symbols? In every Masonic lodge, this is very big, the pentagram, five-pointed star. You'll see that in every lodge. You also have the square and the compass. There's the square and the compass on the top. That's the symbol you always see for Freemasons, kind of as their logo. Let's take a look at the streets of Washington here. And they are laid out. If you look, just go into Google Earth, you don't even need it laid out for you. You'll see it as you hone in on it. There's the Capitol building. There is the compass, which goes down equally to the Jefferson Memorial and then to the White House. The White House, all the streets around there are in the go into the shape of a pentagram, five-pointed star, upside-down pentagram, with the White House being at the point of that. It was designed by Mason. And then if you go 13 blocks up the pyramid on the back of a $1 bill, it's 13 blocks. What happens if you go 13 blocks from the White House straight up through the center of the upside-down pentagram, 13 blocks, what do you find? The House of the Temple, which is the headquarters of Scottish Rite Freemasonry in the United States of America. So would you say that Freemasonry has some sort of influence on America over its history? Absolutely. This secret society. And in fact, Masonry was so big in America until 1826 when this guy comes along. His name is William Morgan, and it's reputed that he was kidnapped and murdered by Masons. Why? Because he said he was going to write a book revealing the secrets of this secret craft. And because of that, it is said he was kidnapped and murdered by Masons. And there was such a backlash, such an outrage in America at this this event, that lodges closed all over our country. People were outraged. There was even a political party that ran for president to oust the Masons from America, that people wanted it outlawed as a dangerous society. And it mostly went defunct until after the Civil War, when a Confederate general named Albert Pike brought it back into prominence. And in the 20th century, it was in such prominence that almost anybody who was anybody was a Mason. And besides George Washington and friends, you have 14 U.S. presidents who were part of this secret society. Also, Davy Crockett was a Mason. Mark Twain, Joseph Smith, who founded the Mormon cult, was a Mason. Walt Disney, Robert Shuler, General MacArthur of World War II, Newt Gingrich, Al Gore, and Jesse Jackson. Although Jesse Jackson is a Prince Hall Mason, which is mostly for black people because Masons have traditionally not allowed blacks in it until very recently. 1994, they finally validated, at least most Masons validated, Prince Hall as being valid Masons as well. But even there are a lot of southern jurisdictions of the Masons who do not recognize Prince Hall because it's blacks. But for the most part, most men view Freemasonry as a good society, a good secret fraternity, and they get into it not knowing what it is. Why? Because their coworkers are into it, or their fathers were into it, or their grandfathers or great-grandfathers were into it. It's a family tradition. And many men who call themselves Christians and are in churches today, this morning on Sunday, are Masons. But the important question that we need to ask is it right? Is it in accord with God's word? Should a Christian be involved with it? And the answer from God's word, Scripture, is men should flee from Freemasonry as from the plague. And I'll tell you why. Let's take a look at some simple points here just laid out for you. Number one, should flee from Freemasonry because it is a secret society. Now, I want to tell you here, not only for Freemasonry, but for everything, beware of anything in life that you've got to do in secret, behind closed doors, under the cover of darkness. And why? Because Satan generally works in darkness, doesn't he? Remember Jesus at the night of his betrayal? When I was with you day and night and day in the after day in the temple, you didn't lay hands on me, he says, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Satan works in darkness. That's where his power is. Just consider a man who wants to cheat on his wife. He does that in darkness where no one sees. Consider a businessman who wants to steal or embezzle money from his company. He does it after hours when all the lights are off. Consider a thief when he comes to break into your home. He does so at night under the cover of darkness. And all I can say at the start here is beware of anything in your life that has to be done in darkness. Jesus, at his trial, said, I've spoken openly to the world. I have said nothing secretly. Thanks be to God. That's our Savior, right? He speaks in the light, openly, to all the world, nothing hidden. And in fact, Jesus warns, he says in Luke 12, nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light. Whatever you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I would say to all Masons, do you want what you have said in secret rooms to be proclaimed on the housetops, especially on the day of the Lord? Would you be ashamed or proud of it? Well, what do Masons do in their secret rooms of Freemasonry? Well, I think for the most part, they're just a bunch of normal guys, get together, talk, eat, enjoy each other, do a few good deeds, and that's probably mostly about it. But that's not all that's done in Masonry behind secret doors. This leads to point number two. Flee from Freemasonry as from the plague because of its secret rituals and vows. And here is where things really get scary. Let's say you're wanting a man, you want to become a Freemason. Let me describe the opening ritual. You are going into the entered apprentice degree. The ritual goes like this. The man seeking to enter the lodge is stripped of his clothes. He's given old trousers to wear. And then he's hoodwinked. Here's a picture, by the way. Hoodwinked means you have a black bag or a blindfold over your eyes. And then you're made to remove your wedding ring. Wives, I'm sure you wouldn't appreciate that. Your pants leg, one pants leg is rolled up, the other's long. One foot is naked. The other foot has a sandal on it. Your left breast is exposed. And then you are led into a room blindfolded, and before you then are three candles. And standing there is the worshipful master in the dark by an altar. And then you are made to swear certain vows with your hands on a Bible, never to reveal the secrets of Freemasonry, even to your wife, even to other Christians, even to pastors. And all this with the point of a sharp sword placed against your exposed left breast over your heart. The sword is basically a compass that they use. And by the way, I forgot to mention, they put a noose around your neck and lead you in like that. So does that sound fun to you? Here are the blood oaths that you are made to swear. As an entered apprentice, you vow to keep the secrets of Freemasonry with your hand in the Bible. With this vow, under no less penalty than having my throat cut across, my tongue torn out, and my body buried in the sands of the sea. You're calling down curses upon yourself. They make you then in the next one, the fellow craft, the next level, binding myself under no less penalty than that of having my left breast torn open and my heart and vittles taken thence, with my body given as a prey to the vultures of the air. With your hand in the Bible, you curse yourself if you reveal. Next degree, you swear as a master mason, binding myself under no less penalty than that of having my body severed in two, my bowels taken from thence, and burned to ashes if I ever violate and reveal Freemasonry's secrets. Now I want to ask you right now, does this sound Christian to you? Does this sound like fun? Do you think we should do that today, this morning? How many would do that? In fact, here, anybody wants, I got one right here. You can come on up, and I also got this, and I can wrap it around your neck and lead you away and have you call down curses on yourself. Anybody want to do that? Does that sound Christian to you? It's not Christian. In fact, it's repugnant to the Word of God. What does Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5? But I say to you, do not swear at all, he says, but let what you say be simply yes or no. And let me read this to you right out of the scriptures. He says, let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. Comes from the evil one. Comes from the evil one. And so we should flee from this as from the plague. And James says, but above all, my brethren, do not swear. But let your let yes be yes and your no be no, that you may not fall under condemnation. God takes these vows seriously. You're opening the door to demons when you give your yes to these unchristian rituals. That's point number two. Point number three, next point. Flee from Freemasonry as from the plague, because let's consider this. When you take your vows as a Mason, you become a brother to every other Mason. And I want to ask you, you've heard of the Shriners? Remember these guys that have the fun little cars and parades, and they have the fez hats that they wear? Do you really want to be a brother to them? Let me reveal to you now the secret oath of a Shriner. The Shriner puts his hand on the Bible and on the Quran. And then he prays this, swears with this oath. I do hereby upon this Bible and on the mysterious legend of the Quran and its dedication to the Mohammedan faith, promise and swear that I will never reveal any secret part or portion whatever of the ceremonies. And now upon this sacred book, by the sincerity of a Muslim's oath, I here register this irrevocable vow in willful violation whereof I may be incur the final fearful penalty of having my eyeballs pierced to the center with a three-edged blade, my feet flayed, etc. And may Allah, the God of Arab, Muslim, and Mohammedan, the God of our fathers, support me to the entire fulfillment of the same. Amen, amen, amen. Here's one of their hats, okay, the fez. What do you see there? Islam. They're all Arabic names. You see the crescent and the sword of Islam. Do you really want to be a brother to these people before the Lord on the day of judgment? When you're a Mason, you also become a brother to this guy, Albert Pike, I mentioned before. He is said to be the founder of the Ku Klux Klan, the KKK. You want to be his brother? How about this one? Joseph Smith, I mentioned before, the founder of the Mormon cult, was a Mason. How about this guy? You want to be a brother to him? Aleister Crowley? Here he is in his Masonic garb. There's the all-seeing eye in the triangle. This guy was the greatest Satanist of the last century. He called himself the number 666, the mark of the beast. Do you want to be his brother? I say not. And so Masons might say, though, and I've heard this, is these are just frivolous vows, though. This is child's play. Nobody takes these things seriously. Well, I want to say something to you. If you had a loaded gun, a pistol, revolver, you gave it to a little toddler to play with, he might think that's just a frivolous little toy to play with. But is that really still dangerous to him? That's a dangerous thing. And these vows, these rituals, are satanic. They're dark. We're not to get involved in things or any secret society, really, as Christians. That must be done in the dark. These things are loaded guns, pistols. For Freemasonry is a religion. Now, here's another thing you hear. It's not a religion. It's just a group of men that get together and have sandwiches and games. Well, maybe you do that for a lot of the time. But listen to this. Each lodge has a worshipful master and a chaplain and deacons. Does that sound religious to you? A profession of faith is required for membership. At the center of each lodge is an altar. You have rituals, prayers, liturgies, and funeral rites. They claim to teach you sacred truth. You have a volume of sacred law on the altar. It could be a Bible, could be the Quran, could be the Hindu Vedas. They don't care, just something. Most lodges have a Bible in America. And then their lodges, and this is the clincher, are called temples. Is that a religion? It is a religion. And beware, Masonry is a loaded gun. Now, point number four. Next point. Freemasonry teaches you a different gospel than the one of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read to you from the manual of the lodge. I have a Masonic manual right here. Here they say, when the guy is entering into their craft, their secret society, they say, there he stands without our portals, outside our doors, on the threshold of the new Masonic life, in darkness, helplessness, and ignorance, having been wandering amid the errors and covered with the pollutions of the outer and profane world, he comes inquiringly to our doors, seeking the new birth to be born again, and asking for a withdrawal of the veil which conceals divine truth from his uninitiated sight. You see a problem with that? Let's say you have a Christian who's a believer in Jesus Christ, baptized, saved, in the light of Jesus, and they're telling him he's in spiritual darkness, he needs to be born again, and when he's born again into Freemasonry, he now has divine light and truth revealed to him. You see a problem with that? I see a problem with that. How about this one? Masonry has, as I showed you, the lambskin apron. That's given to everybody. Everybody wears it. It is a symbol of the pure deeds, good works you do to gain entrance into the celestial lodge above. That is salvation by works. There is no reference to Jesus Christ, no reference to the cross, no reference to the shed blood, no resurrection, none of that. In fact, the Masonic Bible, as I could show you, here's a Masonic Bible, says they forbid sectarian discussion. You can't mention Jesus' name in their rituals, in their liturgies, in their lodges. You're not to evangelize anybody. Is that the kind of religion you want to be a part of? A religion that forbids you to mention Jesus' name? And listen to the severe warnings that are given by Paul in Galatians. He says, I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Then Paul says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we preached to you, let him be accursed. Did you hear that word? He actually doubles that in the next verse. Curses. And this is to any different gospel. And the gospel of the Freemasons is cursed. It's a different gospel because it teaches salvation by works and no reference to Jesus. Take that to heart. Rather, the truth is, and there's a good word, by grace you've been saved. Amen? Through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. That's wonderful news. Jesus has saved you freely by his grace. You receive that salvation by faith. This is the light of God's word. Don't turn to the secrets of darkness, for the Freemason gospel is a cursed gospel, a different gospel, and it leads people to hell. And God says in Isaiah chapter 5, woe to those who put darkness for light and light for darkness. So flee from it as from the plague. And here's one more, point number five. Flee from Freemasonry as from the plague because it teaches a different God. Really? Well, here's the Masonic Bible. And once again, see, Masonic edition. You open it up. You read. Let me read to you here about their introduction. For Masonry knows what so many forget, that religions are many, but religion is one. Therefore, it invites to its altar men of all faiths, knowing that if they use different names for the nameless one of 100 names, they're yet praying to the one God and Father of all. What's that saying? Hindus, Islam, Wiccan witches, whoever comes to their altar, are all praying to the same God. Knowing that if they read different volumes, they're in fact reading the same vast book of faith of man. The Bible, Masonry sees it as a symbol of the eternal book of the will of God. What is the Bible to Masons? It's a symbol. It's furniture. No, it's the inspired word of the living God given to us to teach us salvation in Jesus Christ. And it teaches, though, Masonry, that all the religious books are the same. The Bible is not unique. All religions worship the same God. Join hands with Hindus, Muslims, and whatever God you choose. Friends, that's a different God. That is a different and false one. Don't go there. And I've spoken with a 32nd degree Freemasonry man, and he said in the ritual, I actually asked him, I said, in the ritual, the 32nd degree, do they actually reveal to you God's name? Of course, he's breaking his vows by revealing this to me. I say, did they say to you that God's name was
Jabulon?
I said, you ever recognize that name? He says, oh yeah, I learned that in the 32nd degree. That's God's name. You know what that is? There have been Christians who have come out of Freemasonry and revealed that that is the combination, they believe, of three gods. Jah, Yahweh, Baal, the Canaanite god that God curses in the Old Testament, and On, which is a Babylonian god. Is that the God of the Bible? Yahweh, Baal, and On? Jabulon? No, that's a false god. And we don't want to be found that. So what am I saying here today in summary? I'm saying, apart from the fact that Masons worship a false god, have a different and cursed gospel, forbid the name of Jesus to be spoken, do the rituals in darkness, and make their members take evil vows that place condemnation, curses, and demons upon themselves and their families, and condemn people to hell, apart from those, it's a pretty good group and comes highly recommended. How could a Christian get involved with this? Well, Albert Pike, remember the KKK guy, perhaps the most influential Mason in all American history, wrote, and I quote to you his words, "Masonry conceals its secrets from all except the adepts and sages or the elect, and uses false explanations and misinterpretations of its symbols to mislead those who deserve only to be misled." I believe a lot of Mason men that get into Masonry and are Christians do so just in ignorance. They don't know what they're doing. They're let in blindfolded. They don't know the vows that they're saying. Most of the time, they just get together and have a decent time. They don't think about the things I've shared in this sermon. And I understand I've gotten into things in my earlier life that were wrong too. But I say to you, now that you've heard, run from it to Jesus Christ. And it's amazing how many famous men in history have partaken of these dark rituals. But I know that just as many famous men have spoken against it. John Quincy Adams, the sixth president of the United States, said, and I quote, "The entered apprentice oath was sufficient to settle in my mind the immoral character of the institution." And then he said, "If, as in this age but too often happens, he enters the lodge a skeptic, the use of the Bible there, if it have any effect on him, will turn him out to be a confirmed infidel." John Quincy Adams. And Dwight L. Moody was a very famous preacher. When he preached against Freemasonry, they said, "You can't do this. You're going to be driving people out of our churches and out of our meetings." And he said, "What of it? So what if I do? Better men will take their places. Give them the truth anyway. And if they'd rather leave their churches than leave their lodges, the sooner they get out of the churches, the better. Better one man with God than 1,000 without him," said Dwight L. Moody. "Flee from every form and shadow of darkness." But I say, better to have the truth of God and the light of Jesus Christ. Hear these good words. Jesus says, "I have come as light into the world, and whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." Paul said, "Christ suffered. He is the first to rise from the dead, and he sent us to proclaim light, both to the people and to the Gentiles, for this was not done in a corner." No secret rooms here. no secrets at all, but proclaim openly to all the world Jesus' mighty salvation. And I say to you then, be forgiven, be free, rejoice in Christ, and for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. In Jesus' name, amen.